it's time to go out and...
From a nightclub and a very narrow windowsill at the end of the world. Hey, it's me, Mike Rupert, Tracker of Truth. You can call me Track. I'm back again for another show on Sunday, the 16th of September, 2012. And, boy, it is a windowsill. We'll get to that in a minute. First of all, the first thing I want to do tonight is thank everybody who's been writing to Rags, my dog. He had major surgery. He's got like 20 stitches running up and down his left leg, which is shaved all the way up to his butt. Part of his kneecap was sawed off and some wires and pins were put in, and oh boy, but he went through the surgery well. He is recovered. He's a tough guy. He's recovering. I'm playing nursemaid to him. I have to make sure for 6 weeks that he doesn't, jump or leap, because he can rip it out before everything kind of heals up. So he's doing good, and he's a tough dog, and he thanks you for all your letters. I want to thank all of you who've taken the time to write me here. I'm glad I gave out the address, and I especially want to thank Grandma Coco, who's just writing me some awesome letters. I'm not going to read this five-pager you wrote, dear, but I'm reading it. So if you want to write to me or Rags, we're hanging tough here at 8,100 feet in the San Luis Valley in Colorado. You can address it to Mike Rupert or Rags at 27378 Red Cloud Road, two words, Red Cloud Road. Red Cloud, the only chief, a Lakota chief, who forced the U.S. Army to beg for surrender terms. Yeah, and that was Sherman, by the way. We're in Moffat, Colorado, 81143. Anyway, so now I want to get to some important stuff. I have kept track for many months now, and what is very clear to me, I get little messages. I just got one now from the board operator in New York. But every week there's a core of about 300 to 400 of you, usually close to 400, that show up no matter what. And you're always here, and you tend to stay longer and stronger when I'm the only person talking on the show. Now, some of you have been with me for a long time, but I'm going to take that to say that we're all on the same page here, and it's a clear signal for me that the track I have been taking with the show since roughly April or May, when I was when Spirit drastically rearranged my life and reassigned me here, is one that's appealing to all of you. So I'm going to, maybe I'm going to have to get PRN to reclassify my show as spiritual, but certainly from a political standpoint, ladies and gentlemen, we're all screwed, and if there isn't a spiritual solution, we're all screwed. Tonight is a very, very disturbing night. Zero Hedge just put up a story which pretty much summarized a lot of the points I was going to make tonight, starting off the show. Zero Hedge story, I believe it's their front page story, A World on the Verge of War, submitted by the infamous Tyler Durden, who was an amalgam of people. But he writes, here is a summary of where the world stands. Unable to reach a compromise over the weekend, South Africa is now in an all-out labor strike, with the police again firing rubber bullets at miners with lethal escalation guaranteed. Back from vacation, the once again penniless citizens of Spain, Greece, and Portugal have resumed protesting austerity. U.S. embassies have been attacked, in many cases with numerous casualties, in Egypt, Libya, Tunisia, Morocco, Sudan, Lebanon, India, Bangladesh, Indonesia, and others. This is serious. Japan's appropriating China-contested islands has provoked a firestorm of retaliation, including demands for war with Japan. Now, let me expand on that. I wrote about that and predicted that in absolute detail in Crossing the Rubicon, in one of the later chapters, which was published in September of 2004. That's 8 years ago, and I said that the South China Sea, the Spratly Islands, and these islands called the Senkaku, or who, depending upon who's trying to raise the flag, I predicted would be a very serious choke point and a flare point for global conflict for two reasons. First of all, there's minor, and I mean very small deposits of gas and oil, but it sits atop the transit route for all the oil that goes to Japan, to China, to Korea. And they're getting ready to fight over it. The violence, Japan announced that they were annexing the islands or had bought them from an unnamed individual. And the response in China was extremely violent, to the point where Japanese citizens were attacked, and Panasonic and Toyota had to shut down operations. The Japanese government was demanding that the Chinese government assure the safety of its citizens. And then I think it was yesterday, the Japanese ambassador to China just dropped dead in the street. Yes, this is serious. Now, on the other hand, old Bibi Netanyahu is telling Meet the Press that Iran will have a nuke in 6 to 7 months and must be stopped beforehand. Yes. Now, in conjunction with that, you look for the corroborating evidence. Warships from more than 25 countries, including the United States, Britain, France, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, are launching a massive military exercise in the Straits of Hormuz. And a third aircraft carrier, the legendary and ubiquitous Stennis, is back en route with an ETA of 10 days. And they noted, Zero Hedge noted something that I actually pointed out on to the people at CollapseNet. And CollapseNet's been doing a good job keeping track of this. I give them all high fives. A potentially final catalyst to this, to light this mess on fire, Iran's Revolutionary Guard has announced that its troops are now on the ground in Syria. That actually happened last week. But it was extremely provocative. And now, as these riots and these protests are taking place all over the world, massive anti-U.S. riots, have resulted in the killing of the U.S. ambassador to Libya, and violence all over the region. A major attack in Afghanistan, killing two Marines in a base that was thought impregnable. People got in disguise as Afghan soldiers, destroyed six jets. Now, what mainstream media is trying to tell you is that this film, and I don't even remember the name of this cockamamie film, is the cause of what all these Arabs, quote-unquote, are upset about. Absolutely not true, because what happened this week was quantitative easing 3, QE3, that looks to be bigger than QE2 was. Now, let's roll the time clock back a little bit. Sherman and the Wayback Machine, I'm sorry, that's from an old cartoon show. To QE2 and the rise of the Arab Spring. And I was writing about this until I was my fingers were numb at CollapseNet at the time. First of all, quantitative easing 2 triggered massive inflation around the world, especially inflation in food prices. And the riots that were called the Arab Spring were essentially food riots because people could not afford to eat. There's a great piece that's even still up on, I believe, on the homepage at CollapseNet right now. That's CollapseNet.com that I sent over there this week. That's a study from MIT. It's a matrix and says that massive food riots are inevitable within a year. And there's a nice index showing how this is all happening. Now, QE3, make no mistake, is going to have exactly and worse effect than QE2. And we are seeing that happen already right now. These are food riots. And the last thing, the dying paradigm that has ruled by lies, deceit, deception, distortion, murder, persecution, inquisition, however they've done it, this same paradigm wants you to believe it's all because of this little stupid film. That is not the case. It's out. Everything is out of control. Now this is where I have to disagree with Wes Miller at CollapseNet. My opinion is, Wes wrote an opinion this week, and he said that that he didn't think that there was going to be an attack on Iran because Barack Obama didn't need it to win the election. Well, I agree. Barack Obama does not need the attack on Iran to win the election. But world events are not included in the election. And the fact is that climate change is out of control. The fact is, I sent a story over to CollapseNet. It was up on Facebook. I think Robin Westenra might have given it to me. But there was a report from an Arctic scientist that the methane release is now so out of control that the climate is collapsing, that emergency measures are being taken. It's one of the best plausible descriptions. You can find the story on CollapseNet. that HAARP is mixing two different radio frequencies, high energy beams, along with the chemtrails to help break up the methane, which is 25 times more potent a greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. And it said, I just noted that the story said the measures were now so desperate because the warming is accelerating so rapidly that the emergency measures had extended into Colorado. And sure enough, for the first time here, I saw massive chemtrails this week. So everything is going on. And I have something else to tell you, too. I also saw 3 nights ago, my first ever unidentified flying object. And I was sitting with Doug Lewis, my bandmate. We were sitting on the back porch, and we looked off to the north-northeast, and a bright light had risen from the ground. I mean, much brighter than any star. It looked almost like a little pinpoint flashlight beam. But it was brighter than anything else. It was noiseless, and it hovered at some altitude above the ground, just above the horizon. I was only looking up at about 15 degrees, 20 degrees maybe, above horizontal, and it hovered there. And then all of a sudden, it just accelerated away at a speed unlike anything I have ever seen until it faded. Doug and I both looked at it, and our jaws were both hitting the ground. And so I saw it. Now, I'm taking the position there that I would as a detective with a case. If I see something at a crime scene, until I explain what it is, I can't rule it out. But that was the first time for me. So I can say I have eyeballed one of those things, and it was truly not an airplane. Absolutely silent. And that's part of this whole thing that we've been trying to do here. You know, as I see that this core of you, 400 people who shows up every week in and week out, and you stay solid throughout the show. Now, bear in mind, throughout the course of the week, that from the PRN archives, anywhere in between 10 and 30 times that many will listen, depending upon the show, to the course. But it's the 400 of you that show up every week that are my family. Now, that may not seem like a big number, but in that 400, there might be a Leo DiCaprio. There might be a Mel Gibson. There might be a Val Kilmer. There might be a Joe Rogan. There might be a David Wilcock, a Graham Hancock, a Greg Braden. Who knows who among those 400 show up every week. But what's clear to me is that I think we're all on the same page, and I'm going to start moving in that direction to try to integrate a lot of the stuff that's happening and the stuff that's literally being handed to me. In terms of download and the information. Here's two more really, really, really sad stories that I clipped just to indicate. This is the Telegraph in Britain story out that'll be on the World News Desk at CollapseNet tomorrow. They estimate that there are only 100 adult cod left in the entire North Sea. In other words, capable of reproducing or have reached maturity. Only 100 left. What are you going to do to put into fish and chips? It is so transparent. And overnight last night in Chicago, 10 people shot, murdered by gunshot. 10 a night. That world is doomed. We can see that clearly. We can see that the operating assumptions that have governed human activity, or the way we are taught to look at the world, but more importantly, the way the world is governed, are faulty. And to paraphrase Albert Einstein, you cannot solve a problem by using the same system and assumptions that created the problem, which brings us back to this trend that I'm taking the show into full speed now, where we integrate and where we begin to see, alas, ratio, there are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in your philosophy, that spiritual truths are definitely at play here. And from a great many positions, from a great many viewpoints, whether you look at the major advances and breakthroughs in the particle physics, the great work done showing that the sound frequencies produce unbelievably beautiful geometric patterns in sitting water. The patterns get more complex the higher the frequency, which resonates or is consistent with other undisputed hard science that's, you know, that mainstream is not acknowledging and teachers are getting fired for talking about. That everything which exists, all of what we perceive to be as matter, is a function of vibrations, harmonics, and frequencies, which is extremely consistent with Greg Braden has done some amazing work, but there's also an amazing tape I put up on Facebook last week or maybe the week before that was with David Wilcock and Graham Hancock, absolutely demonstrating 800 ways from Sunday that everything we have been told about our origins being in the time of quote-unquote Jehovah, who I believe to be a false god, whose time is coming to an end, is a lie. Archaeological ruins, Graham Hancock did a great job of synthesizing the work of a great many archaeologists in Peru, off of Sri Lanka, in Turkey, I believe, was the oldest site that had been found, or maybe Greg Braden was talking about that. That dates back 15,000 years to the end of the last ice age, and it was a place that was deliberately buried intentionally. So it's well preserved. It's in Turkey. I forget the name of it. But what that means is we, meaning the human species, have been told that everything that exists only happened in the last 5,000 years, when there is, in fact, abundantly exponentially expanding hard scientific information that is absolutely not true. There have been, as some will say, and I'm kind of in that school, three or four major cataclysmic events. Fire, flood, and which have virtually wiped out all human civilizations, and very, very advanced civilizations were destroyed, and the knowledge of the existence of those civilizations. And the cosmology, if you will, or the spiritual truth, or you might even say the scientific fact about how it is possible to relate to the universe in a way harmonically with frequencies and thought and feeling and talismans. We'll talk about talismans later. Provides a way to change the material universe. And if we look at the world outside now, there is only time left for a Hail Mary for all of us. This was the huge transition point that I reached in when I damn near broke down in March and April of this year, when it was so apparent that there was no redeeming this, and that in the realm of the world that is trying to defend itself, which is so obviously ineffective, that there were no solutions. And in that context, that's a good setup, I think, for the song that I want to play again now, because this wisdom, and I'm going to go more deeply into that, because I'm reading a really good book right now by Graham Hancock and Robert Bovall, which we'll talk about later. I want to talk about some other books later. But Diane Patterson sings my heart, and her, in her songs I find this amazing poetic synthesis of not only the longings of and the feelings of my heart, but what my life of research has told me is the case. And if we consider that in dimensions other than the three dimensions, which we now know are not the whole reality to things, our feelings, if you will, are sounds. Our feelings create sounds in the universe. And what is known, absolutely proven scientifically, is that love resonates at a much higher frequency than fear does. And it is therefore more powerful. But if one considers the waves affecting DNA and the mandate that there will be an evolution, love will trigger more of the chromosomes in the double helix. which I believe is happening because I do see a lot of things changing. But now is a time when you want to face the sun and you want to make a sacred sound because that sacred sound might be healing everything. Here's the song.
Planting seeds of light, growing food for insight, weaving wisdom words, sowing seeds of hope. Dance the dance that's already dancing, planting the seed that's really worth planting.
Always works for me. That's Diane Patterson, just like it sounds, DianePatterson.com, an amazing singer-songwriter. She's out singing on the West Coast down near the sea, and I'm kind of hoping maybe we can get her to come up to Colorado. I was emailing her back and forth this week, and I had this revelation about how this evolves. If you're into this stuff that we're talking about, the spiritual evolution, the change of the ages, we're all pretty much on the same page that it's about healing Mother Earth and healing ourselves. And what's become clear to me on my own path is that I can't heal Mother Earth until I'm healed, and vice versa. It's this beautiful, beautiful connected circle. Heal my mother, heal myself, heal myself, heal my mother, which triggers like a regenerative, beautiful healing and balancing. I've had some huge healings this year. And that's part of the change of consciousness that I'm sure is happening. But I was emailing her and I said, you know, when I was living in Sebastopol, God, it still hurts. I mean, I still feel the pain of leaving that beautiful place in West Sonoma County that was truly the Garden of Eden. All the abundance. Mother Earth was out and accessible and yielding and abundant and fecund and just, you know, she was everywhere there, and that's where it's easy. But it has occurred to me now that I've been here sneaking up on a month. Actually, it'll be a month and 2 days. Is that there are some places that Mother Earth likes to keep to herself that she keeps private, where she can be as brilliant, as vivid, as bitchy, as tempestuous, as gentle as she wants to be. And so I'm in kind of a different part. I'm in, like, I feel like an interior chamber here. And that's part of the connection that's been coming as a result of this amazing download that I've been receiving since a medicine bundle fell into my lap from my shaman travels with Bear that set everything in motion. I love you, man. One of the things that's become clear to me is that there are amazing consistencies weaving through, and I'm going to surprise you with a major one right after the break here. But I'm not far, and I'm looking at actually Mount Blanca, one of the highest peaks in the United States, one of three or four sacred mountains in the United States, along with Mount Whitney, Mount Shasta, in the continental United States. And the Hopi believe that they were born from a cave in Mount Blanca, which would be after the last cataclysmic event. This is consistent through many of the indigenous traditions that I have been able to study so far, is that after the last age ended 12,500 years or so ago, the one which is, and there is an age absolutely, definitely going to end on December 21st, 2012. That doesn't mean the world ends, but an age will change. And we can certainly say to ourselves that we're not far off in assuming that, yeah, cataclysm looks like it might be just outside the windowsill, the event horizon. But then in reading Russell Means' book, which I finished this week, earlier this week, the Lakota people also believe the same thing. But I have seen also an excellent documentary, In Search of the Future. It's kind of obscure, and it's not Leonard Nimoy, trust me. But the Kalahari Bushmen, no one even have taken a film crew to the cave from which they believe they were birthed after the last age ended, and most of mankind was virtually wiped out. And in piecing all of this together, it's very clear to me that there's not just a conspiracy for CIA to deal drugs, or for banks to be crooked, or for the infinite growth monetary paradigm to perpetuate itself, but there's a scheme that's been hiding important stuff from our species for a long, long time. And with that, I think we're going to go to a station break. We're going to roll out with a new White Trash song, Take These, You'll Be Fine. We'll be back right after this at PRN-FM.
Take these.
You'll be fine. Take these. No time at all. You'll be fine. Take these.
Yeah, that was Take These from New White Trash, me and Doug Lewis singing. We had the legendary Arthur Barrow, bass player for Frank Zappa, laying a bass track for us on that cut. We did, geez, I guess it's about 3 years ago now. Yeah, about 3 years ago now. Time flies when you're not having fun. Anyway, back to where we were. I had spent, by the way, if you want to call in now or ask questions, please feel free. For the last half of the show, the call-in number is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888, or you can email me directly at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. I'm going to take a swig of water here. Where I'm living is the driest place I have ever seen in my whole life. You have to drink like 3 liters of water today just to keep from passing out. But it's good, and it's challenging, and This is the place where Mother Earth, I think, shows different parts of herself than I could see before, and I'm still adjusting to it, but the winter is going to be a ride. So back to where we were. As I was getting angrier and angrier over the last couple of years, especially since the movie came out and then since it was so clear that that I had been accurate, and so have so many others been accurate. And it was so clear that what I said in the movie was true, the only answer, we have to find the 100th monkey, and the only things that we can change are our minds, our consciousness. There's no point in fiddling with anything out there anymore. Everything out there is truly an accelerating vortex around the drain, which I've said for a long time is the only thing that the infinite growth paradigm would ever be satisfied with, was its own destruction. Coincidentally, that meshes with a lot of the ages. But now I come back to how George Orwell has been woven enormously into the fabric. Orwell knew great secrets, and Orwell revealed the great secrets. Basically, what I concluded, and these were all posted on Collapse That through my writings, was that the human race has been enslaved and farmed for at least the last 5,000 years, or to quote M. King Hubbard, back to the origins of money and, quote, folkways of prehistoric origin, we have been enslaved and hypnotized to extract the wealth from this planet, and we've been governed from fear. Good time for a call. Jet from Minnesota, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Mike. I'm here. Thank you.
What's on your mind, dude?
Well, you mentioned QE3, and I'd just like to give a brief comment.
Sure.
The collapse will happen with stunning rapidity. The reason why I say that is interest rates after the announcement of QE3, instead of falling on the 10-year and 30-year treasuries, they soared. This soaring interest rate will trigger trillions of dollars worth of credit default swaps, and the chaos will happen incredibly quick.
Doesn't that sound, Chet, like it's a convenient time for Barack Obama and Bibi Netanyahu to attack Iran and kind of have a cover for everything else that's happening, just exactly the way? I'll let you continue in a second, but 2 days before the attacks of September 11th at From the Wilderness, I posted my first ever economic alert. There were a total of four, and they were all accurate From the Wilderness. 2 days before, and I was predicting a massive stock market crash. Well, it happened. But it was all blamed on 9/11. I'm sorry, Chet, go ahead.
No, I'm glad you mentioned that, Mike, because I followed you back then, and you're absolutely 100% accurate. You did predict that right to a T, and everything that you said would happen happened, and it's about to happen again.
Yeah, and I really think this is quote unquote the end of the world as we have known it. But from my point, from my perspective, that's good news. I mean, how much worse do we want it to get?
Yes, absolutely. So I just wanted to make that comment. The stock market rallied after the announcement of QE3 on Thursday. puts the bond markets, the 30-year bond markets, and the 10-year note market got absolutely crushed.
And not only that, Hong Kong immediately tightened mortgages because Hong Kong is very wise. They know what's going to happen. It's massive runaway inflation. When QE2 was launched, it started currency trade wars. I mean, the carry trade, which is like arbitrage floating of currencies to make a profit, was just going insane and berserk. And QE3 is bigger. I think it's like $40 billion a month in unspecified open-ended bond purchases. That is the Weimar Republic's massive printing press. And you can bet everything, your last dollar, that Barack Obama, Ben Bernanke, and the financial powers that be know exactly what it is. And that's why I think that this self-reinforcing insanity is also leading now to the attack on Iran, which, as I've said for years, all bets are off when that happens. We might as well bend over and kiss our butts goodbye.
Oh, my gosh. I completely, absolutely agree, Mike. And we're right at the precipice of that. In the world as we know it, we won't even recognize by Election Day.
Well, and that's why we hope that these mysteries, a lot of this stuff that's happening on the stage, Chet, is true, and I believe that it is. Thank you so much for calling, man.
Thank you, Mike. Have a great evening.
Okay. Bye. All right, going back to where I was, Orwell had it clearly, and Orwell knew, and I believe George Orwell, was one of a very select group of human beings that have fought over God knows how many tens of thousands of years to preserve a truth, truths that would enable us as human beings to live in complete harmony and peace, not only with each other, but also with our Mother Earth. Now, there's more that's just fallen into my lap this week. And I started a book by Graham Hancock and Robert Bovall. Now, I'd read two books by Hancock over the years, and I was drawn to them like a magnet. Once I picked up those books, I could not put them down, and I read them because they absolutely resonated in my heart and in me. The first was The Sign and the Seal, which was about the Ark of the Covenant. And the second was Fingerprints of the Gods, which is probably his seminal, his signature work that most people would link to him first. Breathtaking, absolute, amazing scholarship, and I was drawn to them. There's only one other book that's hit me that way, and that's the book that my shaman sent me, David Wilcox, Source Field Investigations in April, which triggered all of this. And I do believe that there is a beautiful synchronicity, and there are things orchestrating this. But in this book, the book is called The Master Game, and I believe it's Hancock's latest book. And now let me just step back and talk about the spiritual wisdom that had been so affecting me, which has been Native American spirituality, indigenous spirituality, and if you will, the Gaian Wiccan spirituality that was so prevalent in West Sonoma County, was that Mother Earth has to be healed and she has to be liberated, and which has equated to the liberation of the heart, which has been imprisoned, because the heart is definitely the strongest organ in the body. It has an electrical field, thanks to Greg Braden. It's at like, 80 times, 100 times more powerful than that of the brain. And we know that electromagnetics and the vibrations are what make reality. Let's go back to that science. The healing of Mother Earth and the, if you will, dethronement of the left brain, the male, this three-dimensional God, which when I made a speech in Portland, September 11, 2011, the 10th anniversary, I called the God of Abraham, the Jehovah, the one who wrote Genesis 1:28, that said, be fruitful and multiply, that you shall have dominion over the earth and you should go out and subdue the planet. Well, those are the dictates of a false god who wanted to use people to generate wealth. And isn't that what we see in the world around us? So in our minds, as we look at this, we say, okay, it comes, these general themes come from indigenous spirituality, Native American spirituality. It's what everybody believes. But in this book, The Master Game, which is all about this amazing deception that has been pulled on mankind, I found some amazing stuff that confirms the same basic ideas. But where does it come from? It comes from Greek texts that were taken in by the popes in the 1400s, the Medicis, but it's those who are Greek scholars. I know I'm going to say this wrong. Well, there was a guy named Hermes Trismegistus, who was supposed to be, and this was all totally suppressed by the church. Greek writings called the Asclepius, a fragment of Asclepius. And these, historically, and the scholarship in this book is amazing. And the scholarship that David Hancock Graham Hancock and David Wilcock use is just stupendous. But these are texts that date roughly that were translated into Greek from the Egyptian, that date roughly from, let's say, the time of Christ, 0 to 300 A.D., but which were based on much older translated Egyptian writings and the religion of the pharaohs. And the Catholic Church took great interest in this. And I've just got to read some quotes. And this was Hermes, Trismegistus, whatever we call him, equate him to the Egyptian god Thoth, if I'm saying that right, but someone that predated Moses and Abraham. But these are their writings, and you will not believe how they relate to the world we're living in now. This is a quote from the Asclepius. In their weariness, the people of that time will find the world nothing to wonder at or worship. This all, a good thing that never had, nor has, nor will have its better, will be endangered. People will find it oppressive and scorn it. They will not cherish this entire world, the work of God beyond compare, a glorious construction, a bounty composed of images in multiform variety, a mechanism for God's will ungrudgingly supporting his work, a unity of everything that can be honored, unity, praised and finally loved by those who see it, a multiform taken as a single thing. We are all one. This is what the science is telling us now, the hard science. There is nothing. We're all connected. They will prefer shadow to light. These are the people, the zombies out there. And they will find death more expedient than life. No one will look up to heaven. The reverent will be thought mad, the irreverent wise. The lunatic will be thought brave, and the scoundrel will be taken for a decent man. Soul and teachings about the soul, that the soul began immortal or else expected to attain immortality, as I revealed them to you, will be considered not simply laughable, but even illusory. But believe me, whoever dedicates himself to reverence of mind will find himself facing a capital penalty. That's us. That's the people like us who have been persecuted. They will establish new laws, new justice. Nothing holy, nothing reverent, nor worthy of heaven or heavenly beings will be heard or believed in the mind. How mournful when the gods withdraw from mankind. Only the baleful angels remain to mingle with humans, seizing wretches and driving them to every outrageous crime, war, looting, trickery, and all that is contrary in the soul. Now here's the kicker. This is at the end of this passage. When all this comes to pass, Asclepius, this is as it was told to Asclepius, then the master and father, the God whose power is primary, governor of the first good, will look on this conduct, and in an act of will, which is God's benevolence, he will take his stand against vices and the perversions in everything, righting wrong, washing away malice. Then he will restore to the world to its beauty of old, so that the world itself will again seem deserving of worship and wonder. And with constant benedictions and proclamations of praise, the people of that time will honor the God who makes and restores so great a work. And this will be the genitor of the world, a reformation, catch this, a reformation of all good things and a restitution most holy and most reverent of nature itself. There, in Greek texts that were attracted the attention of several popes, that clearly are old teachings, we see the same basic theme: the restoration, the healing of the relationship with nature itself. Now, this is starting, if you're paying attention, to make a weave. But what I really caught in this book was in the opening part of the book, the authors go to tremendous pain to document the source of the Catholic Inquisitions, which was not against pagans, and it was not against Muslims. It started by a persecution of the church in the 1100s or 1200s against the Cathar, probably never heard of it, religion, which is also linked very closely to a Bogomil religion and to the Manichaean traditions, all of which, I guess, you can loosely put under the category of Gnostic, G-N-O-S-T-I-C, which basically assert, all of these things basically assert several things, and I find them to be totally consistent now with what I found in the ancient prophecies and what's also coming out in the new science, which is that we are at the lowest level, we are at the densest part of the universe. We are trapped in matter, and we have been separated, and I believe Mother Earth has been kidnapped since the origins of money, in folkways of prehistoric origin. There's something really shady happened when we were told our history. And we have been, a lot of truth has been hidden from us. But what all these schools said was that they said that matter was evil, but basically they said the earth was the province of the devil. And a very good case is made to justify that, and that our spirits, souls, were trapped in here, and our task has been to evolve to break free back. Now, we've got a caller, and I don't want to keep her waiting too long. Justin from Kansas, are you there, man?
Yeah, hey.
Hey, man.
How's it going tonight? I just wanted to comment on a couple of things you're saying there, Mike. It's amazing how the universe works. You know, some of the art writers and authors that you've been talking about for the last couple months, I've kind of been getting into on my own and discovering the exact same things that you are. Mm-hmm. And it's just incredible how that all is kind of syncing up, and it's just really incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly is syncing up a lot more than anything you can find in the world outside talking about the world. None of that's syncing up, right? None of it makes sense.
No, none of it does. One thing I did want to say is there's a couple of people I would recommend to you to maybe check out, and one of them that I can't recommend enough is Michael Tessarian. Have you ever heard of him?
I can't say I have, no. How do you spell
it's Michael, and then Sarian, T-S-A-R-I-O-N.
Okay.
He's actually, he's Irish, but he has a wonderful DVD series called Origins and Oracles, and goes into how the Egyptians originally came from, came from the British Isles in Ireland, and that was kind of an antediluvian civilization, and he goes into Atlantis and alien visitation, genetic manipulation, and then, of course, bases a lot of his work on Graham Hancock and many, many others. He's just a really amazing scholar, and I just can't recommend it enough.
Okay, thanks for that, and I hope everybody was taking notes. If not, you can catch the show on replay during the week. Justin, thank you very much for calling in, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mike. Have a good one.
Thank you. And that brings up something else. And again, a tip of the hat to Greg Braden, because he's a scientist. He is a geologist, and he is one of the clearest presenters I have ever seen in my life. There's nothing. Man, he's got it squared. And it was on his one of his tapes that I watched this last week. there are too many, and I forget the title of it, but it's been up on Facebook. He talked about how Charles Darwin has been absolutely proven wrong. First of all, there's a 1.5 million year roughly gap in human evolution, and science has now absolutely confirmed that our species just kind of appeared on the planet. And so have several other major species. And Darwin has been proved wrong. I even quoted Darwin, allowing for the fact that he might be wrong on that case. Plus, science has also shown that it's not about survival of the fittest, as the God Jehovah taught us. I think it was 400 peer-reviewed studies unequivocally agreed that cooperation was the model which worked, and that's the way Native American indigenous spirituality looks, is that the wolf and the elk cooperate with each other because they are essential parts of the web of life, of which a butterfly and all of the tens of thousands of species we're exterminating every year in the sixth great extinction are all parts of the web of life, and clearly we look around us and see that that web is falling apart. Before I get back to the thread I was on, we got an email from my good friend, Windermere Assassin, a.k.a. Lee Deathcare Nelson, who's in London. Hey, buddy, good news about pups, that's rags. Lots of love, and he'll be bouncing around before you know it. Well, I can't let him bounce for 6 weeks, but he's happy. He's wagging his tail. Now he's got scars to match some of his daddy's, and he's a tough boy. With regards to your sighting, I'm thinking that things we see such as those, well, not what we see. I haven't been that lucky yet. But I think those are drones, like we use a drone for recon. They do the same. No. Wouldn't want to risk your fellow ETs being blown from the sky. Might be drones from ETs. What I can tell you absolutely, that my father was an Air Force aviator and interceptors over the North Pole during the Korean War. I grew up in an Air Force family. What we saw did not move anything like an aircraft or any man-made craft, drone or otherwise. If there's one, there's more than one. So, now I want to go back to that theme that I was on, because in this book, which I'm not through with yet, I've got a great reading list, and that's what Spirit given me time. Geez, we're almost out of time. All right, so here's the short version of all this. The Catholic Church persecuted unbelievably violently, attacking tens of thousands of women and children and whole cities, devilish acts, not the acts of a loving Christ, not the acts of a loving church. It was one of the most brutal, violent, inexcusable persecutions. And what these Gnostics believed was that, hey, man, the devil's got control down here. Spirit's trapped in matter. Now, they believed that matter was evil, but they also, but everybody said clearly that all of these people believed that spirit was imprisoned here, and that our task was to grow out of it. Isn't that what everything else says? Now, I'm in the part of the book now where the Gnostics believed that matter and Mother Earth was evil. I couldn't stick with that. That we were prisoned here, and everything that was three-dimensional was evil. No, but there are much more deeper and more profound texts, the Hermetic texts, which trace to Egypt and I think through Alexander the Great, according to the book, which say essentially the same thing, that we are spirit trapped within matter, but the goal is for spirit to overcome and to develop and manifest. This is what they wrote, an overwhelming love and care for this planet on which we live. Now, these are texts that go back again. So there is enormous consistency here, and I do believe that this change is happening. Stuff is falling into my lap, left and right. I am beginning to think that I'm going to be preparing myself for a vision quest, a Lakota-style vision quest sometime in the spring, and pass the popcorn. These are very dangerous times, but holding your hearts, the love, the sacred sound, the higher vibration, the belief that good times can be coming. Keep your face toward the sun, and that way you will see fewer shadows. So we're going to keep on this thread now from here on out, and I'm going to go deeper into it unapologetically, because I know and I feel that there's a core of you. So keep writing to me. I really love it when you put the love and take the time to send me a talisman, putting your love and energy into something that you write and send to me, or Rags, Mike Rupert, or Rags Rupert, 27378 Red Cloud Road in Moffett, Colorado, 81143. Keep those cards and letters coming, Rag says hello. I love you. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Lifeboat Hour. Have a great week.